If Golish could fix this one thing, it would make a world of difference.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. This one thing, man, I know it's been bugging everyone for the past 3 years. It feels like with just a few tweaks and attention to detail, this could be cleaned up and create just a world of difference in results on the field. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a bulked up young wide receiver. And then some questions on the defensive line, not necessarily negative, but just some questions about some personnel and where they fit this upcoming season. We're going to jump into that right now. Let's do it. This has been so frustrating, I think, over the last 3 years, and it's frustrating to hear. It was so frustrating to hear Hugh Freeze use this term over and over and over again. But the term close, and how, golly, guys, we're just so close. And it's not necessarily that it was incorrect, but it's the fact that we couldn't get beyond just being close and become victorious. This is hard to do, guys. This is really hard to do. It's almost hard to do, and then it's almost mathematically impossible as well. But Auburn played 14 games that ended in one score or less. I'm sorry, that ended in one score differential, score differential. 14 over three seasons, or not over three seasons, over the 3 years of while Hugh Freeze was the coach, 14 games. Lost 12 of them. That is impossible. Like, that right there statistically is impossible. And then it's almost like malpractice on top of that. I think the only two games that you won that were one score is you won at Cal. So you won your first one, you know, your first one score game. And then I think the overtime game against Texas A&M was another one that you won. And then every other one, 7 points or less. Think about that if you won just, hey, what if you just won half of those? What if you just won seven out of those 13? And you sprinkle that over those three seasons. What is that? What do things look like moving forward? It's so incredibly impossible to imagine that that's been the case. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing to Auburn fans, is because, like, Dad, we're right there. Just get it done. And then you start hearing a lot of the things that are coming out and stories about attention to detail and how present or not present your head coach was in critical meetings and game plans and things like that. And it makes sense as to why, when it gets to be crunch time, those teams couldn't get it done. Just simply could not get it done. If Alex Golish can just simply win his fair share of one score games, you're talking about a completely different Auburn. And when you look at the way that he coaches, with the intensity, again, the attention to detail that was lacking, it's really hard to think that if Auburn gets into a lot of those one score situations this upcoming year, that you're going to see similar results. Like, it's really hard to imagine that you could go essentially over, virtually over, in all one score opportunities. I want to take a look at ESPN's SP Plus projections for Auburn for 2026, and currently they have us playing in 7 one-score games. They project Auburn to be in 7 one-score games. Currently they have Auburn winning or projecting Auburn to win 3 of those. All right, I got them highlighted here. You got Baylor, Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, LSU, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. So they've projected Auburn to win 6 games overall: Baylor, Southern Miss, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Samford. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 6 projected losses are one-score games. 4 of them, okay? If Auburn just wins 2 of those, one of which is Florida, which is going to be essentially a spread toss-up at home, and you got LSU at home, you got to go to Ole Miss. If Auburn just wins 2 of those games, what kind of season are we talking? We're talking about an 8-win season. We're talking about, you know, year one sort of riding the ship, I think, in the right direction. It's not that far-fetched to think that that could happen in the very, very first season. Auburn's going to get an opportunity, again, to play in a bunch of close games. They're going to be valued by computers, by Vegas, as really close game opponents for almost 80% of the schedule. They don't like us going to Georgia, and I don't like us going to Georgia either. And then Alabama is only a 10-point favorite on the road. Or not a 10-point favorite. This is their 10-point projection. So this isn't necessarily a betting line. This is just what they expect, how the game they expect to play out. It's this one thing, man. I want to leave the season. I want to leave games or get into games where we're late in the fourth quarter and maybe we're down 3 points and it feels like Auburn's going to win the game. That we used to have that. That didn't feel like it was that long ago where that could happen. Like Auburn could go down the field and score and win the game. Or Auburn had a 3-point lead and it didn't feel like – it felt like that lead was insurmountable. Like there's just no way they're going to be able to beat us even with a 3-point lead. Those teams, man, were super fun to watch because they just closed. And I think if Golish can get that one little piece fixed, that mindset change, and hey, look, you got years of scar tissue. Now, it's not like everybody that was on those 3 teams is still here. A vast majority of them are gone. There's a lot from last year that are here. I think Auburn lost every one-score game. I think they lost 6 last year. I think they're 0-6 in one-score games last year. So there's going to have to be some cleansing, some baptizing from that feeling or that mindset. Got to get that gone. You change that one thing, man, the sky really is the limit. You can turn this thing around really, really quick. Again, 7 one-score potential games being projected this upcoming season. I tell you what, win 4 to 5 of those, and you're going to have a really good year. You win 4 to 5 of those one-score games, and you're talking 8. You're talking about an 8-win season. And to me, that would send a huge message that Golish is for real. This thing is for real. This thing's turning around. And I think you would see a lot of dominoes start to kind of fall in place because of that. So got to clutch up. Got to figure out how to be focused in the fourth quarter so that we're paying attention to every minute detail because that's how razor thin the margin of error is. 7 out of your 12 games, 1 score. Got to get it done, man. Got to change that aspect. You change that, you change everything. We're going to talk about hulking super Teens here in just a second. That needs to be a t-shirt, by the way. I heart hulking super teens. Who wants one? We'll jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Added some really cool companies. Just got an application again last night for another awesome Auburn-owned company. If you're going to be an Auburn fan and say you're part of the Auburn family, well, you should do business with Auburn people too. When you start your shopping or buying process, you need to go to buyauburn.com. Check out all of the different companies we have across multiple industries, across multiple states. See if anything fits your needs and then kind of go from there. But you need to start with Auburn people. And then Auburn business owners, you can list your business for less than $1 per day. You cannot beat this value. We're shouting it from the rooftops, getting thousands and thousands of page views. Jump on board. It's buyauburn.com, and then check out aushirts.com as well. aushirts.com is where we take a lot of the fun stuff. When you hear us say that needs to be on a t-shirt, well, if it does go on a t-shirt, it goes to aushirts.com. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, all kinds of stuff. We add new styles every single day. Check us out. It's aushirts.com. We'll be back right after this. All right, it's hulking super teen time. I talked about this a little bit last week with Ben Taylor on Afternoon Delight, which if you don't know about that show, we drop it every single day, audio only, around 4:30 in the afternoon for your drive home from work. And then if you're subscribed to the YouTube Premium, you get the video too. So we talked about height and weight changes, which is one of my favorite times of the year. But one guy in particular to me has stolen the show. And I think anybody that's done any type of serious, you know, workouts or serious weightlifting or trying to get gains can respect the grind here when you're talking about Brian Williams Jr. Before I jump into this, I got a question for everybody. Got a question for everybody in the chat. I got a question for everybody living or listening at home or watching at home or wherever you're watching or listening. I want you to raise your hand if when Auburn added Brian Williams Jr., you were just like, eh, okay. Didn't have super high expectations. Kind of cool, another 6'4 wide receiver, but, you know, he's committed to South Florida. It's just a body you throw in the room. How many people kind of had a mindset along those lines? And for those that are listening, my hand is raised. Didn't have much expectations for Brian Williams Jr. at all, period. He has since come in. He has since worked his tail off to the point where I legitimately think he's the number two guy right behind Keyshawn Singleton on that right side, outside wide receiver. So just from the work ethic piece and skill set, I've seen it with my own eyes, the kid can play. Now, let's talk about something that blows my mind, and that's when you're not practicing and you're really working out and they've got an idea of where you want to, they want you to be so that you can be an impactful player in the SEC. It's pretty clear when you look up and down all the different position groups, they got an idea of, like, from a weight perspective, where they want you to be. Brian Williams Jr., 6'4", okay? He showed up at 190, and I would say that's probably a generous 190. Not a big kid, okay? His latest weigh-in is 6'4", which he obviously, you know, probably not going to grow much more vertically, but he's gained 20 pounds, and he's up to 210. 6'4", 210 as a true freshman, okay? He came in at his low weight and worked his way into right there in as far as into the rotation. And now he is in, I mean, that's getting close to like top end SEC / NFL size right there. Do y'all know how hard it is when you are working out as hard as these guys working out and the amount of calories that you burn during these football workouts. And currently, right now, that's all they're doing. I'm sure they've got some stuff they're doing, throwing sessions and this, that, and the other. But for the most part, it's workouts, man. You're grinding. You're running. You're sweating. It's hot, man. You can walk outside and burn 100 calories just going to get the mail out of the mailbox in Auburn, Alabama right now. These guys, so you have to be so daggum disciplined and diligent. Think about what your intake has to be able to just maintain your weight with everything they're doing. Sure, they're going to gain muscle mass, but muscle mass does not grow that fast. Okay, you have to be adding to it. Okay, 20 pounds in what? That was the spring roster. So that weigh-in was probably in February or March is when they updated that spring roster. I think February maybe is when they uploaded it. So February, March, April, May, June. So we're talking 4 to 5 months he's gained 20 pounds. And I'm sure all 20 are a good 20. I am just shocked not only at the ability, but just the drive and the work ethic. Like, this kid's going to play. He's going to play. He's going to be a factor this year. You can't keep that off the field. Now, it may not be in a starting role unless someone gets injured, but gosh, now you're 1-2 punch. Your 1-2 punch on the outside on the right is Keyshawn Singleton at 6'3", 220. Okay, he gained 5 pounds. 6'3", 220. He comes out to take a blow, and then Brian Williams Jr. goes in there at 6'4", 210, and still runs just as smooth as can be. Dude is impressing me, man. Hey, so maybe this is an apology. This is an apology for raising my hand, and maybe everybody else that was listening that raised their hand, we should apologize. Now, got to see it on the field. But, man, it's hard to imagine all the stuff he's doing off the field that won't show up on the field. So, good stuff, Brian Williams Jr., Hulking Super Team Award of the Year. Fired up to see that kid play on Saturdays. I want to kind of switch gears and talk about the defensive line for a second and a couple of guys in particular. And I put on the graphic here questions about the defensive line. And normally that has a negative connotation. And I don't necessarily have a negative connotation here. It's more of like it's a legitimate question. Darian Smith. So last year he played a lot of snaps inside. He played a lot of snaps outside. And earlier in the spring, he weighed in at 271. In spring practices, he was almost 100% inside at 271. So we were even asking questions in like, that seems way too light. What's their plan here with him? Surely, maybe he'll gain a little bit of weight and he'll be, you know, just a quicker defensive, you know, the defensive tackle. Well, he's lost weight and now he's down to 263. He lost 8 pounds. And I don't feel like with this staff that's not by design. You look across the board, and I just don't feel like they're going to put up with riffraff, and Darian Smith has not seemed like that kind of guy since he's been here. He played as a true freshman, sort of unheralded recruit as well. Played as a true freshman and was really good. And you expected him to take another step this spring. He did that. And then you're thinking, boom, in the fall, he's going to be an impact player. I just don't know what they're going to do with him. Are they now thinking about moving him back outside? Is he going to be just sort of like a gadget pass rush from the interior type guy? It's hard to imagine that he can be an every down, you know, three technique at 263 pounds. I don't think that's going to happen. He is an impact player. I'm just really curious to see how they utilize him this year. Again, maybe they shift him outside, and it's as simple as that. But he didn't play outside at all this spring. It was pretty much right there on the interior. Another guy that I mentioned this with Ben, and it was two guys actually that were very, very impressive to me. J.J. Falk bulking up to 260. And he is, you know, really athletic as well. So he's 6'3", 6'4", 260 now. You got to expect him to make an impact this year. And then Tavian Branch, which he was my That Dude Award for the first day of practice because he was physically impressive and he was wearing a number that was not on our roster. So I was like, okay, who's that dude? Because he's not on the roster. 91's not on the roster. True freshman checking in at 295. He's up to 320, gained 25 pounds. And I think he's like 6'5". I love everything that they're doing here. They have a very specific idea of where they want every single player to be. And you look across the offensive line, almost all of them weigh within like a 5-pound window. And it kind of seems like you go that way down every single position. They have an ideal body type that they want these guys, and they had to push some guys more to get there than others. But, man, at the gains and at the changes you've seen in just a short period of time, and it's not super surprising because the strength and conditioning coach is terrifying. He's absolutely terrifying, and I think I'd do whatever he asked me to do in fear for my life. So let's just go with that. Guys, daggum, it is still June 30th. I'm ready for football season. Let me know what you think about the one-score game aspect. Do you think Golish can be the one to close the gap and flip the script there? Let me know what you think about my Hulking Super Team of the Year award going to Brian Williams Jr. Do you agree or disagree? And then what do you think? What's the ideal spot or what's the ideal place for Darian Smith? Dude's a playmaker. Where's he going to be at 6'1", 6'2", 263? Make sure you like and subscribe if you want to get a piece of all the premium content that we put out daily. You get two shows, essentially. You get two shows 4 days a week, and you get the commit breakdowns as well. And all that's, you know, with a YouTube Premium Barn subscription. So it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it. If you can't get enough, you can't beat it. Guys, we'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.